Hello, and welcome to the Handing It to Jesus podcast. My name is Craig. I'm here with Matt Tilley. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Craig.
We are actually going to continue with the grieving process, and we're going to give you an example of what that looks like. So let's just do a brief overview real quick. So we got the acknowledgement of who God is, the complaint, the description of pain, plea for action, and the expression of trust. Now, this is something that format that we see often in the Psalms with David just grieving to God in
often.
These different songs and these poems. And so this is just a format that we took from there. This format is not the end-all be-all. It is meant just to be a guide, right, for
That's
you
right.
In grieving. And
yeah, we all grieve a little differently. Yeah. Grieving can feel chaotic. As human beings, it is natural for us to want to create structure to kind of understand how to do something. And that's what David has done with his grieving process. That's what we're trying to implement with this grieving process. Sometimes it might feel out of order, and that's okay, or out of the order of the structure that we recommend that we see in the Psalms. And while we like this structure, we think it's helpful to kind of, like we said before, sandwich our lament, our grieving, with an acknowledgement of who God is, with an expression of trust in God, that the focus is still on God. Sometimes you might notice that you will only focus on the complaint in one moment of grieving. Sometimes you might focus on just describing how painful this feels. Sometimes you might only focus on asking God to do something, you know, this plea for action.
Right.
And that's okay. Like, we don't always need to have such a rigid structure all the time. But what can be helpful is for a few times to actually be intentional about trying to follow a structure, follow a pattern, and see what changes in you, see what feels different in you.
Right.
Because more often than not, that is going to aid us in whatever area of life that we're trying to grow in, is when we have a little bit of structure.
Absolutely. So let's take a look a little bit at what the structure is. And like Matt said, you may, while you're doing this in the moment, you may leave a part out. But if you're someone that's new to grieving, just having this is just a good format. So we really want to start out with an acknowledgement of who God is. This is often in relation to God's identity or what God's done for us. You can use different biblical language or themes that you use to describe God, right? These are maybe things that you discover in the view of God section. So this might be that right. God is the Alpha, the Omega. This might be that God is the light of the world. This might be that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth.
A wonderful right. counselor.
Absolutely.
Or you can focus on like a relational component of what's in the Lord's Prayer. It starts off with acknowledging who God is to you. You know, He is our Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. Something that ties you to Him, you know?
Absolutely. So like this acknowledgement and that emotional roller coaster, we're starting off at that high point. Because like when we're starting, we're turning. That is, the acknowledgement is the intentional turning towards God in these moments. And then we start to move towards the complaint. Now, God knows all the suffering that we're going through and all the issues that we're going through. But what the complaint does for us is it's a Matt actually has said this before. You guys may not know this. This is actually our second recording of this because we had some technical issues last time. But
it didn't record.
Yeah, it did not record. And so the complaint is an act of submission, right? It's an act of submission. And you really want to focus on this, that part of really kind of tapping in to the practical, the emotional difficulty that's going on. And the complaint often ties into the description of pain. The description of pain is just more in depth, more mining that emotional intensity of what's going on.
Yeah. And here's how I feel about this hard thing that happened.
Absolutely.
Here's how it is affecting me. Here's what it feels in my bones, in my heart, in my mind. And here's how it might be affecting other parts of my life as well. That's
right.
Where you're just getting, obviously, more descriptive.
Yes. And then you get the plea for action, right? This is, again, this is more of the practical, like asking God to do something, right? This is the plea. Again, plea is a submission, right? We're asking God to intervene or do something there.
And it's so vital to like know that we can come to God and ask. Mm-hmm. What gets tricky here is like sometimes we, when we are devoid from a structure and we don't have these moments where we acknowledge who God is and how powerful and mighty and great and wonderful he is, sometimes we can get into a habit in our prayers to treat God like a cosmic vending machine or like a waiter, somebody who, you know, it's his job to bring us stuff. It is our right to have peace and comfort. And what changes, I think, in our plea for action while we're grieving, if we first acknowledge who God is, if we first remind ourselves that his ways are not our ways, is that it can kind of change our plea for action to be still more mindful and more focused on God rather than we're focused on ourself. So it might change the way that you ask for something as opposed to, God, give me this now. Perhaps we actually treat God with reverence and awe, and our prayer might look a little more like, God, I would love this. I feel like I need this. I feel like I'm dying without this. Would you please enter into my life? Would you please show up and meet my need? And that is much, much different than, I have to have this. Give this to me now.
Right.
Or that's much different than, if you do this, then I will.
Well, and have it, you ever pairs prayed it very well with the end of this prayer, this format, the expression of trust in God.
Exactly.
Like, even if God does not grant you this.
Totally.
Then we are putting at the very end that we still trust God. We still trust what God's doing. We still trust that God's good. And you get to use those same type of words. You get the same type of expressions to, again, it's a turning back towards God. So if we're looking at what this looks like in our head, right? If I was watching a movie and I was watching where the character's face, you know, our face would be turning or the camera would be turning if it's doing a first-person view. It's looking up at God, the acknowledgement of who God is. Then we have the complaint. We're starting to look at ourselves. The description of pain is a further look into ourselves. The plea of action is starting back to look at God, right? Starting to look outside of ourselves for something to help. And then the expression of trust is, again, fixing our eyes on God.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
There is kind of like this motion that we're trying to go through. And really the reason that we want to do this is because emotionally this helps us process information a lot better whenever, you know, a lot of times people avoid grieving because there's a fear that we're going to get stuck in it and develop depression or like this hopelessness. And that is a really big fear, especially for a lot of people that don't know God. And even for those of us that do know God, because we may not end with this expression in trust, right? So we're not allowing us to come out of that deep pit of our grief and our despair and our pain and then turn back towards God, who is going to be the light of the world, who is going to come back for us, who's the, you know, who is the author of all creation and who has all these wonderful things and these good that's planned for us. So we want to be able to allow ourselves to emotionally just shift in there while we're in this process of praying towards God.
You know what that reminds me of, Craig, is, you know, like that fear that if I do allow myself to grieve, to open up the door to these negative emotions, that, you know, I'd be opening up the dam doors and the waters would just rush through and overwhelm me and drown me, right?
Right.
But when we kind of sandwich our pain with truth, and I think that's what we're doing here in the structure, truth of who God is and truth of how we are in relationship with him and will continue to still follow him, even if it is painful and hard, even if we are sad.
Absolutely.
I think that is a truth of reality of how we then should live in our life, even if it doesn't go the way we think it should go. Mm-hmm. And it often reminds me, and my pastor shared this with me, and I just love it. I use it to help describe a little bit of the process of what it's like to still be able to experience hard emotions and yet not be overwhelmed by them. But he gave me this image of imagine yourself driving down an interstate, and that is the essentially the way of living your life and the way of being able to experience hard, painful, negative emotions. And if that interstate doesn't have any guardrails on either side, you have risk if that emotion becomes too big of getting pushed off onto the side of the road and falling into a ditch and getting stuck into that ditch. But if that interstate does have guardrails, what happens is if your emotion does threaten to become too big and you start to drift off to the side of the road, you hit a guardrail, and that guardrail is so very much so like truth. And so if you can bind up your pain and your hard emotions, all of your emotions, I would say even your positive emotions as well, with truth. Truth cannot allow you to fall into a ditch, and it manages your emotions in some way. Because when you're tempted to believe lies, and that's usually where our emotions become so, so big that they threaten to throw us into a ditch.
Yeah.
Truth tempers our emotion to only really truly be based off of what we know to be true and real in this world.
It's an identity reset. There,
yeah.
Right? Or absolutely. At least an identity flushing out there in those moments.
The guardrails, I think, can also give you confidence to actually drive on the road, knowing that you can be safe to actually grieve, to actually feel hard things, and it's not going to consume you or overwhelm you. Similarly, like if I don't see a guardrail on that road, I might not even want to allow myself to feel anything for fear that it would become too big and I'd fall into that ditch.
Absolutely.
So at least the guardrails give me confidence that, yeah, I can start grieving. I can start feeling the hard things, and I'm going to be okay.
Let's go through a little bit what this looks like.
Yeah, I'd love to.
I will go ahead and start. And we want this complaint can be about whatever, but of course this workbook is handing our deepest struggle. So if you want to practice this, I'd practice it with your deepest struggle. You may be going through this workbook and something new comes up that you're grieving, the loss of someone or like something that may be loss of a job or loss of a friendship or anything like that.
Yeah.
That can hit us while we're going through this process, and you can use this same format if you find it helpful. But I'm going to use it in relation to the struggle that I've been talking about on here, and that's the struggle of finances and not feeling good enough. And this. So here I go. God, you are the light of the world. You are the generous Father. You are the one that provides for the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the animals of the land. And you're the one that provides for me and generations before me. And right now I come before you because I have this deep-seated struggle with wanting to covet the resources you bless me with wanting to hold on tight, to having difficulty letting them go, to having difficulty being generous, to having difficulty even sometimes talking about money or finances without getting angry or defensive, and it causes issues between me and my wife. It causes me to be stingy. It causes me to be judgmental of other people. And the anger just eats me up inside. It's like this fire within me. And it's not a fire that burns away things. It's a fire that burns everything that I touch. It's a fire of jealousy, of envy. It's this corrosive nature where even my words can be acidic to those around me and stinging of jealousy, stinging of superiority using money as a battering ram to get what I want and to deny others and to blind myself to the needs of others around me that could use what you've been so generous to give me. And I just ask that you soften my heart in this way. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be the stingy person. I don't want to be seen in such a way that, and I don't want to be known by you in such a way that you bless me with things. And I don't want to be that servant that took the money and buried it. I want to be the servant that you can entrust with responsibility, with things. And I'm willing to give them away for your sake. I'm willing to lean on you. And I just ask that you soften my heart to that you help open my eyes to the reality that you've provided, you will provide. And the things that you don't provide are things that I don't actually need. And that even if I don't get the things that I need, that you are still good and you'll still be there. And I just ask that I can keep my eyes fixed on you as the fantastic Father, the provider. And I trust that the things that you don't give me are things that would poison me and that would ultimately lead me away from you. I trust in your judgment of what you can allocate to me and what I can manage. And I trust that if I'm given any more, that I would not be able to discern what to do without you. So I trust you over me. Amen.
Amen. That was great, dude.
Yeah.
How do you feel right now after praying that? What's striking you?
I think the two things. One, it feels good to go through some of those emotions. It's something that I actually recently had to pray just in a different way, even before coming to record this. But it also, honestly, it feels very odd saying this at a mic in a way that I know is going to be recorded.
That others will hear something like so vulnerable to you.
Our prayers can be private. And, yeah. You know, Matt and I have made a dedication to trying to be as open and vulnerable here. So, like, you know, I'm okay with doing that. But it does feel odd that intimacy that I'm trying to connect with God is kind of, it's being shown in some way and in this way. So it's a little bit odd in that way because it feels like it could be. Like, right, there's that part in the back of my head that's like, oh, are you just trying to, like, showboat a little bit that, like, you're good at praying or something? So, like, I do got, like, a little bit of that monkey in the back of my mind that's kind of wrecking me. But, you know, if I could take a moment and recognize that part is not helping me feel the connection to God that I felt while I was saying that out loud.
Mm-hmm.
While I was saying that out loud, well, like, you probably couldn't, I mean, well, you could see, but obviously those of you guys are listening, like, I was closing my eyes, I was trying to imagine kind of the space with me and God, being able to talk, and that does help, but I can kind of recognize, like, whenever I'm listening to that monkey a little bit, that's, like, wanting to move away from that space. And whenever I'm in the grieving space, I don't want to move away from God. Right, that felt good being in that space with God.
Beautiful.
Even though I was talking about things I didn't want to talk about.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense since, you know, we're recording this podcast and you know that we're being heard by others, right? It's hard to show our intimacy for all of you listeners. Like, this is difficult for us. You know, we're encouraged in scripture. I'm sure what you're thinking about is, like, don't be like the Pharisees who pray in public, to boast in themselves to show how great and holy they are.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Jesus encourages us to pray in secret, to go into the closet and close it and to have that one-on-one intimacy with the Lord. And I think we should always, always, always seek to do that, especially in the season of grieving, and in our worship. There's a time to worship corporately. There's a time to worship individually and privately. But we're trying to also model for you guys, and that's really what we want to do. And so I'm okay sharing my own prayer with you, because I want you to hear what it sounds like for me, in hopes that it would help you be able to model a similar prayer.
Yeah.
But more often than that, I'm not gonna pray every single one of my prayers with everybody who's listening. I'm going to be praying almost constantly in private with the Lord, and then on Sunday morning corporately with my community. You know. But because of that, dude, that you share that with us, thank you very much for sharing that with us, for letting us glimpse that intimacy that you have with the Lord. Appreciate that. I would love to walk through my own, and allow you guys to hear what it sounds like in particular with my own unique struggle. Father, you are good. You are a good dad to me. You are holy and wonderful and righteous. You are my wonderful counselor, my refuge. You are my rock. You are my delight and my protection, my safe place. There is no one like you, Lord, who meets my needs, who fulfills me, who brings me joy. Lord, thank you for being a God who keeps his promises. I praise you. I worship you. I delight in you. And Father, I have struggled to keep my eyes focused on the cross. I have struggled to give all of my heart and servitude to my family, to taking your word to the nations, to having that be at the center of my motivation as I engage with people. And I am so easily distracted by this world and all of the things that I think I should be doing, that I should have, that I should be successful at. And I shut down and I withdraw from it. And to distract from that anxiety of all that I should be successful at and doing and providing, I give my time and I give my heart to other things. And I especially give it to stories and games and entertainment and things that take me to different worlds so that I don't have to even think about all of these other things that I need to do. Because I don't want to fail. Because I don't want to be seen as less, or prove to myself or prove to others that I'm not as good. And so I shut down and I sit around and I don't engage. And what that feels like, Lord, is just, when I think about it, this deep angst in my heart that I feel so much lesser than so many other people around me and not good enough. I feel lazy. I feel worthless. Whenever I think about that, I feel this weight in my heart, on my shoulders, that almost keeps me from being able to get up and do anything. Because I don't feel like I'm good enough, even in your eyes, Lord, that you're disappointed in me. And I hate that. And Father, I ask that not only do you give me strength and capacity and wisdom to accomplish more, to be able to do more, to be able to engage with the world in a competent way, but bigger than that, Father, I ask that you reach this wound in my heart, and you help me to really know and believe and trust that that I am worthy and I am loved and I am known and I am chosen and I am forgiven because you've made it so. And that I don't have to perform to get your love. I don't have to do more to get your love, to get your salvation, that you've already given it to me. and I am free to move about and engage and try and work hard and rest hard, because you have already given me all that I need. Help me to see that reality and to believe it. Lord, I do trust in you. I do trust that you can and will and are giving me those things as we speak. I trust that you are giving me those things by the situations and circumstances of my life, the things that you put me in, as an opportunity to look towards the cross and to see you there, and to see how you are providing every need that I have, Lord. I trust that you will provide every need that I have, that you will meet every emotional need, every physical need, every mental need, every relational need that I have, Lord. Because you are good. I trust in your healing hand when I'm not feeling well. I trust in your provisional hand, Lord, that you will continue to show up in my life in big ways. Thank you, Father, in your name. Amen.
Amen. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Thank you for being raw with us.
Yeah. Hard to do.
Yeah. Now, something that you guys all may have noticed, you guys may have been able to hear some of the emotional journey that Matt and I have gone through while talking about this. But another thing you may have noticed is Matt and I praying this would not have fit in some of these lines that we have for the acknowledgement, complaint, description, plea of action, expression of trust. So don't feel like you have to be confined by that.
Right.
Feel like you can let yourself express yourself to God.
Yeah, you be being you.
Authentic. Yes, you being you is the ultimate goal here. And you being you with God is what we're aiming for.
Yeah. I have one last thing that I would like to share too, because I shared it in the last episode and I just love it. And the last episode obviously didn't get recorded. But I would recommend you guys go read this article by Dan Allender called The Hidden Hope in Lament. And you can find it on theallendercenter.org.
Oh yeah, this is what I made reference to in the complaint. Yes, please share it.
Yeah. So the whole article is great, but essentially he's talking about how lament is a part of our worship, and we need to do a better job, especially in the Western Christian culture and our churches, of knowing that lament can be and is worship when we cry out to the Lord for help. It's exactly what David is doing when we describe our pain, when we grieve, when we weep, and we do not do a very good job of this in our culture. But I'll just read a short selection of this article that I enjoy. Christians seldom sing in the minor key. We fear the somber. We seem to hold sorrow in low esteem. We seem predisposed to fear lament as a quick slide into doubt and despair, failing to see that doubt and despair are the dark soil that is necessary to grow confidence and joy. Consider how many times you have heard another person encourage a struggling believer, perhaps you. It doesn't help to get upset. You simply need to trust the Lord. The assumption is that trust precludes struggle. Faith erases doubt. Hope removes despair. Therefore, lament is unnecessary if one trusts, loves, and obeys God. Sadly, we have misunderstood the great value of public and private lament. To lament, that is, to cry out to God with our doubts, our incriminations of him and others, to bring a complaint against him, is the context of surrender. Surrender, the turning of our heart over to him, asking for mercy and receiving his terms for restoration, is impossible without battle. To put it simply, it is inconceivable to surrender to God unless there is a prior declared war against him. And so part of this grieving that we enter into, I think we have to admit in some ways that we are grieving what
God has allowed into the world. He's allowed pain and suffering. And I can't really tell you exactly why. I have my theories that it pushes us towards him, that he allows it so that we have to rely on him. But I can't be specific with the why of your particular suffering, except that I know that it's not because he doesn't love you.
Right. It's not because God isn't good.
Exactly. And I am convinced of that when I look at the cross of Jesus Christ, that he hung there and bled and died for you, for you specifically, to save you and to offer you an eternal, beautiful gift of life with him and glory.
Amen. Thank you guys so much for joining us for this episode. We'll be moving to our next section, our next step after this, where we're going to put some of the things that we've talked about now into action with our step four and connect. So until then, know that we love you very much and take care.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen today to this episode of Handing It to Jesus. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we depend on the donations of people like yourself so that we can keep making podcast episodes like this, and so that we can continue making written content. And so we have provided for you a free workbook that you can find linked right below. You can also find linked our donation page right below. You can also find those links in our bio as well. We hope that through those donations that we are able to continue making more episodes, that we're able to continue making more written content so that you can hopefully grow closer in your walk with the Lord. We ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us in that way, if God lays that on your heart.
Yeah, and a little more about that. I mean, this is something that I personally struggle with financially, in this like scarcity mindset that Jesus has been working on with me for quite some time. And maybe you're a person like me that's been suffering in that way, and where I see different things that I want and it always seems like money is tight. And one of the things that I want to let you know is that part of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gets us uncomfortable around those things. And so, like, usually what this looks like for me is I have my eye on something new that I want. And then there's a effort, there is a mission, there is a front on the kingdom's effort or something that somebody's doing that I want to put towards. And then I have that like little competition that ends up happening. It's like, all right, do I want to invest towards the kingdom or do I want to go towards this product? And that's super common for Christians to, especially like in our society in today's day and age, to compete with. And so if you're hearing this today and maybe you feel led to give, maybe there's a movement in your heart, like Matt says, pray about that, take that to God and act on it immediately. Immediately go to the donation and whatever God lays on your heart, allow yourself to do that, because maybe God is actually calling you to move forward on this front, to actually give into this battle, this mission that we have here. And if you don't feel that call, that's okay too. You can still enjoy the content. Others may pave the way for you. There are most certainly times in my life where things that I really enjoy and that really help me, that others have paved the way for me. And that's okay. You can still enjoy the content. And God may wrestle with you or may call you to fight on this front in a different way or give in a different way to somebody else. Or maybe, like Matt said, it's actually just spreading the word. It's maybe telling somebody about our podcast. Maybe it's giving us a review in some way to be able to help other believers find this. There is so much content in the world and so many different things that maybe we consume maybe a little too much. And we just want to provide another avenue for believers to put the focus on Jesus, put the focus on that relationship, and to be able to spend that time, whether or not it's in the podcast or some of the written content we have or some of the even ideas that we have for the future. So thank you for joining us in that, whether or not it's you donating to us right now or whether it's you just letting other people know about us existing.
Right. Yeah. Thank you guys again for tuning in. Please subscribe, like, follow, share with your friends, talk about us with other people. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much again, and we love you. We will see you next time.